Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, it is indeed a pleasure to welcome a new guest, a first-timer here in our studios in beautiful downtown Exeter, Rhode Island, singer, songwriter, composer, recording artist in English and French, piano teacher, and vocal coach. I think we could come up with some more titles, but I'm not sure how. Please welcome, if you will, a little round of applause in your very own living rooms or car, wherever you happen to be listening to this, or your mobile device worldwide. Carrie Teager is here. Is that correct way to say it, Carrie?
That is correct, yes.
Carrie, welcome to the show. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Mike.
Carrie, I've known you for a while now, probably about going on 15 years or so forth, where I first met you.
Sounds about right.
And saw you in an event where you were singing in French, and we'll talk more about that. But we want to know a little bit about your background. Are you from the Rhode Island area or Massachusetts or California or New Zealand? Where are you from?
Actually, I was born in the Bronx. My mother remarried and I moved to Long Island. I went to the State University College of New York, the SUNY School, Potsdam. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which has the Crane School of Music in it. And I did spend a year in the music school.
So music school when you were in college. And how did you end up in the Rhode Island area?
That is a very long story. But
we can capsulize a little bit.
There's
usually two reasons. It's either job or a man.
Well, it was a man.
Okay.
It was a man. I mean, I met my husband in Boston on New Year's Day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see what year.
That's all right. It was probably just a couple of years ago.
But I've been in Rhode Island a little while now. But I don't know if native Rhode Islanders would consider me a Rhode Islander. But
all right. Well, we're glad to have you here. We have so much talent in the state. It's always interesting to meet new ones. And you have kind of a very diversified background. I'm very interested in the songwriting aspect of what you do. You brought several CDs with you today, and I think that's going to kind of give us an idea of maybe over a period of years, I don't know how many years, that you recorded these CDs, but we're going to start with your newest one, right?
Yeah.
And tell us about Illumination. Tell us about this CD and how this happened.
Illumination actually has songs that I wrote at the very beginning that I had never released, and newer stuff. It is only my second album in English. My first one was in 1998, and my husband said, "You're going to do another one in English, aren't you?" Because I kept putting things out in French.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he said, "I like the French. It's beautiful." But he said, "You're going to put one in out." So Illumination just kind of pulls stuff from way back and current. And as with all of my albums, it took about 3 or 4 years to produce. I don't rush into anything. I kind of think of them as fine wine.
Okay, that's a good way to look at it. Make sure it's right.
And even after it was all recorded, it took us about a year to mix it. We took plenty of time. We just really wanted it to be good. And the production values are just so much higher than all my other albums, so it really paid off.
Mm-hmm. Well, you learn things as you go along, and
yep.
Taking your time and making it right is
and this
an
being my
lesson.
My fifth release, yeah, you do, you learn a lot.
All right, well, let's get to a sample so that the audience has some idea what we're talking about, and tell us about this first song that you selected, which is "Ah, Poor Bird."
Ah, Poor Bird. Yeah. Well, I mean, I was going to talk about my family background, and one of the things that I used to do with my family is we would, as a group, sing songs and rounds in several part harmony. And this was actually a Girl Scout round that we did something very different with.
Okay.
It sounds, you know, it's got kind of almost Indian influences and Celtic influences, and it's really, really wonderful. But it just started out as Gene Ritchie wrote the original verse to an Israeli melody. And then other people just adapted other verses, which I found online. The thing is in public domain, so I've never used a public domain song before. I mean, I usually either write the stuff myself or get it from a friend who says, look, I wrote this here. Do something right. with it. But I don't usually do anything that's by anyone else. So, you know, that was kind of new ground in itself. But, it's fun.
All right. Well, we'll give it a listen and listen to Ah, Poor Bird.
Ah, poor bird. Take thy flight.
carry beautiful singing and beautiful melody and very interesting. And it started off with almost a like you mentioned, Celtic type of feel to it. And then I noticed that there seemed to be more than one singer. Is that you singing with yourself?
No, that's actually Lindsay Adler singing some harmony.
Okay.
And then, you know, when we go into the round, it's our two voices. There's a little tambura in there, too. I tried so hard to get an actual tambura player. I asked everybody. I went to Indian groups. I just... Nobody seemed to know one. I went to Boston. You know, I mean, I didn't go to New York.
Well,
but
I think you should explain what that is because I sounds
a tambura,
like a drink to me.
It's a drone. It's a drone. It's an Indian drone instrument.
Okay.
And that was my son's idea, and I think it's just brilliant. I mean, it's very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
It starts, and you really hear it at the beginning and the end, but it's like... So, I mean, that brought a little bit more of the world influence into it. But I couldn't find a real tambura. So, I mean, it is a tambura patch. And it's one of the only non-acoustic things on the album. Because that's something that I feel really strongly about. I try to use real instruments.
Well, see, after hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of interviews with musicians, you're the first one to ever mention a tambura. So, see, that's how this show goes. We're always learning something new. So that's great. All right. Now, we didn't spend much time on your musical background and the process of you know, coming from all of a sudden taking a music course in college to becoming a successful songwriter or singer. What was in between?
All right. Well, if you don't mind, I want to talk about way back.
That's fine.
I began playing piano and studying voice when I was 15, but my relationship with sound and music started way before that. I was born in the Bronx, as I mentioned, from a very musical family. My paternal grandmother taught piano for more than 70 years. My uncle sang professionally as a cantor, and my dad was a jazz drummer in around the New York City area when I was young, which may explain in part some of the Latin rhythms that run throughout much of my music. And we did sing as a family. To go even further back than that, I remember being told that as an infant, I would be put down for naps on my grandmother's piano, which I thought was in a laundry basket. That was my first bed in the world, you know. I thought that was kind of interesting because, you know, who knows what I may have absorbed, right? I apparently learned to speak later than some, actually closer to the age of 3, bypassing baby talk altogether and going straight to full sentences. But my mother claimed that from the earliest age, I would imitate every sound I heard. And she jokingly used to call me Geraldine McBoing-Boing. And I didn't really know what that reference was. And so I actually looked it up yesterday. There was a Dr. Seuss book called Gerald McBoing-Boing about this little boy who, when he was about 2 years old, instead of talking, he made sound effects.
Hmm.
So so apparently
you know,
she
Geraldine
was...
Geraldine part of that.
Yeah, Geraldine. Mm-hmm. She also told me that when I was about 3 or 4, I used to make up little songs about what I was doing. I'm going to the, you know, whatever.
Right.
So I've kind of been doing that all my life, apparently. At about the same age, I remember once being moved to tears by some string arrangement that I had heard, some string piece. So it wasn't unexpected that when I was about 8, she tried to get me some violin lessons. That experiment failed miserably, both because the teacher used a rather strict European approach, to which I responded badly, and because I'm not convinced I was all that gifted as a violinist. I was given as gifts a little 2-octave Emery organ and some xylophone bells, and so, I mean, I had some things to experiment with when I was about 10 or 11. Fast forward to my 15th birthday. I was living with my mom and stepdad on Long Island, and my dad drove up unexpectedly in a truck with the piano that I still own and use for lessons in composing. He'd had it at his house in the Catskills, and when I'd visited the summer before, I began writing my very first song. It became clear to him, this child needs a piano. So so he showed up with this piano for my 15th birthday.
You get a piano, of course.
Took a few lessons from various teachers. I was at the keys day and night, composing largely improvisational melodies. My third teacher, whose name was Bets Vondersek, she sang with her sister Annie. They were a duo. soprano alto. She worked on both classical piano and voice training with me and pronounced after about a year and a half that I was ready to teach, provided me with my first two students, a method book to use, and I've been teaching ever since. So that's how I got into piano. But you wanted to know about the songwriting process.
Well, we can. Why don't we listen to another piece of music now? We'll get to the songwriting.
That would be the very first song that I wrote, Journey Song.
This next song?
Yep.
Is called Journey Song.
I wrote this when I was 14, 15 years old.
All right. Well, we'll give it a listen now. Beautiful singing once again. And Carrie, we got a little bit carried away with our conversation because you have such an interesting background on how you got started. I want to find out about the songwriting part of your life. But before we do that, let's try to get one more piece of music in before we take our commercial break. A song called Lament.
4 a.m. Lament.
4 a.m. Lament. I can't get that 4 a.m. part.
That's okay.
Because that's usually the time I get up to come in and do the news. So for you, it probably means something very different.
Well, this is actually, it might have been the second song I wrote. This is also, goes way back, but this is how you feel when you've just met somebody and you can't get them off your brain, and it's the middle, the wee hours of the morning, and they're in your head.
Okay. We'll listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more. Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with singer-songwriter Carrie Teager. And Carrie has been performing for quite a while. And one of the things I mentioned at the top of the show was a lot of French songs were being sung by you. You have some French CDs that we're going to listen to in a moment. But before the break, I wanted to ask you about songwriting. And I've had numerous people on our show over the years that have been songwriters, and it's always interesting to me because I don't think that way. I can't imagine being able to waking up at 4 a.m. or still being awake at 4 a.m. as you mentioned that last segment, and having something run through my mind and just put it down on a piece of paper. I can harmonize pretty well, but songwriting, that's a different thing. How does it start for you?
It is a different animal. It's kind of different for every song. Each composition kind of has a life of its own, with its own story. Some are never destined to have any words, such as Coronado or The Ocean or My Brief Seasonal Suite. But words with lyrics, sometimes the words come first. Mm-hmm. And when they do, as a poem, or that's kind of ideal, because a poem, a rhyming poem, has a meter. Which
sure, that's generally, half the work is done.
Yep, it suggests, you know, it's got a rhythm, it suggests a melody, because out of that, a chord structure is, for me, that flows. I love working from from a poem, from, mm-hmm. from lyrics. In fact, I've put many other people's poems to music for that reason. But then again, sometimes it just starts as a chord progression, and then it'll take maybe a little longer to develop because it's kind of reversed.
Right.
You know, then you've got chords and you have a melody, but what are you going to sing about? It has to be about something. Mm-hmm. So it's I like it better when you start with some lyrics.
And it just comes to you out of whatever. You might see a tree, or you might see a sunset, or you might see whatever.
Well, there are times when I, for several weeks, have this really strong feeling, I need to write a song about such and such a... And that happened actually this year for the first time in a long time. I wrote a new song called True. I knew that I... And, you know, I didn't know where the music was going to come from. I didn't know what the lyrics were going to be, but mm-hmm. but I knew what I wanted to say.
Right.
So, you know, it's right. a lot of different
ways about it. Now, you're probably known for a while as a French singer. And why French? I mean, you didn't grow up speaking French in the Bronx?
No.
No.
No, I've kind of had a love affair with the language since I was about 8. And I first heard a song on the radio, a woman singing in French, and I asked my mother, who I knew remembered a lot of her French from high school, what is she singing about? What is she saying? I just had to know. It could have been Edith Piaf. I don't know. I really don't know who it could have been, but I started studying it as soon as I possibly could, and I've pretty much never stopped. I discovered the entire French-speaking world was available online in 1997 when we first
started doing stuff. Yeah.
And, you know, I went to one particular French chat room called Arts et Cultures, Arts and Cultures. And I used to have these deep conversations, and it was just like all my French from previous came back, and I learned a lot more current argot and expressions. And what also happened is people started sending me poems in French.
Hmm.
And so actually... That is exactly where Nomo came from. It was originally going to be Vomo, your words. And then I wrote some things, so it became our words. But that's where this next song, Papier Glacé, was a poem that a friend sent me, and I put to music.
From that CD, Nomo.
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's listen to that right now, and then we'll come back and get some more French insight.
Finit par mourir de
So I guess, Carrie, the next logical question is, a Bronx girl moved to Rhode Island studying from Boston. Have you ever actually been to France?
I have.
Okay, so then you did. You brought your French music there, or you went there to see more about it?
Well, it was kind of both. I visited some friends that I had met through this.
Right, the culture change.
Yes. And while I was there, I did a few concerts. In 2000, I performed at Le Grand Café in Évreux, Normandy. And I did a house concert at the home of a very dear friend outside of Metz in Lorraine. And then in 2004, I performed at La Salle des Fêtes in Puy-Ricard, outside of Aix-en-Provence. And I have a number of videos on my YouTube channel from that. So, you know, if people are curious, they can look
me up. All
right.
Well, if people are curious, you also have a website they can go to get more information, which is?
www.carrietieger, K-A-R-I-T-I-E-G-E-R .com.
TIEGER.com. All right, great. So if you like to, and that also connects to the YouTube things that are there so that people can get more of you. That'll be a great thing. And so let's go to a French song here again for the second one there, eh? Tell us about what this one is going to be.
À ma rose. This was a poem, and this was not from one of the people that I met online. This is from someone that I actually met at the Alliance Française. His name was Yves Benassis. He no longer lives in the United States. He went back to France. But he gave me a whole folder of poems. And this was the first one, and I just really loved it. To My Rose. It's beautiful.
Great. We'll listen to that, then take a short break and come back for more. On Conducting Conversations, I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Carrie Tieger. She is songwriter, singer, vocal coach, piano player. I want to say jack of all trades because you're not that, but musically kind of. Very interesting background, and we've been listening to some beautiful music she's been providing on several CDs that she has throughout the years. We'll talk about that in a moment. But there's always a lot of people behind the scenes that go into making these things possible. Let's talk about the other people involved for a moment.
My primary creative team in the studio consists of my recording engineer for more than 25 years, Tony Ritchie, and my son, John Patrick Brennan, who was actually my associate producer for Illumination, as well as being a creative consultant for other past and current projects. He created a beautiful string arrangement for Bonnie's theme, which I wrote for my mother, who passed about 10 years ago, and a sweet reed quartet for Shine So Bright. I think we're probably going to listen to both of those. Shine So Bright, I just want to say, was my anthem to youth, which I wrote after 9/11, when I saw teens and 20-somethings stepping up and being responsible in the ongoing care of our planet. And he and I also worked on a number of other arrangements on the album, but those are two really important contributions that he made. Do you want to play "Shine So Bright" now, or do you?
No, you have other people you wanted to mention too that are.
Well, I mean, I have people that I call on time and again as musicians.
Right.
I mean, you know, those would consist of Barbara Dravesky on cello and Aaron Quinton Urban on viola, and Dave Price has played drums on many, many songs on all my albums. Paul Bettencourt is an ace on guitar.
Great.
He does all my guitar work, and, you know, they're all really, really wonderful. And my son John plays bass too on a lot of tracks.
Well, it's great to have that kind of backup behind you. You know, you have the confidence that you don't have to worry about them. You just let yourself get lost in the music and
You've
not have to worry
right.
about it. Is this guy playing the right note or the wrong note? That's excellent. So that's a good thing. And now why don't we talk about a little bit. You mentioned that Bonnie's Theme was written for your mother.
Yeah.
Who passed away about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Did you write it before or after?
Right afterwards. I was sitting at the piano just kind of morosely running my hands over the keys, and this theme came to me. And I said, oh, this is Bonnie's theme. I recognized it. I don't know whether she sent it to me. I feel like she did in a way, but, you know, it was just a piano theme, and he wrote strings that fill it out and just make it soar. It's beautiful.
All right, let's listen to that now. Beautiful music. And Carrie, I asked you while I was playing if that was you on the piano, and it was. And did you play keyboard or piano on most of all of your recordings, or did you let other people do some of that?
I think on this one, I believe it's all me except for in Shine So Bright.
Okay.
Because,
which is the next one we're going to listen to.
Which is the next one. On that one, Alex Durrell played keyboard, but I think I've played all the rest of it on this one. I believe so.
Now, on your website, you have lots of CDs listed. I think 5 or 6 CDs, lots of projects over the time. Tell us about those.
Well, my discography consists of the 5 full-length albums and some EPs, and I believe that what's up there is Touch of Magic, which I released in 98, En Français s'il te plaît, which just means in French if you please, in 2001. Next, in 2004, well, that was an EP. I won't mention that one because it doesn't really matter. 2008 was No Mo, Our Words. 2009, I did it. That's another EP, but it's definitely up there. Trilogy of Night Songs, A Romantic View of Vampires. And then that brings us to Illumination.
No, wait a minute. You glazed over that last one. Well, you just threw in the word vampire. Now, we can't let that go without some kind of explanation.
My husband is a huge fan of Gothic, and early in our relationship, he was always trying to get me to watch these vampire movies, and I was like, I get nightmares. I can't watch that stuff. Well, I got used to it, and someone said to me about myself and an associate, Kevin Campbell. You guys, Kevin, your music is kind of quirky and strange, and Carrie, your music's very romantic. The two of you should get together and do a vampire musical. And I said, I can't write a vampire song. And anytime you do that, your muse says, mm-mm-mm, never say never.
Right.
And I wrote a vampire song, and I wrote a couple more. And so that's where Trilogy of Night Songs, A Romantic View of Vampires, came out in 2006. But then I re-released it when we did the musical in 2009.
Wow, a vampire musical. All right, so you're almost ahead of the curve, because now that's a very popular thing.
Well, I think zombies are actually more popular than vampires these days, but they're still in vogue.
Oh, great. All right. Well, I interrupted you because I wanted to get that vampire thing in there, but pick up where you left off.
Just to say that, I think I hit everything except for Illumination, which came out this year.
Right, and that's what we've listened to several songs from. And all of those are available for purchase, correct?
Yes.
So they can go do that right through the website
through iTunes. They're on iTunes, and they're also at cdbaby.com.
Okay, yeah. A lot of our artists have been on cdbaby.com, so that's another great place. And once again, the website is your name.
Yep.
KARITIEGER.com. All right, so that's easy to remember. And as always, if you're looking for information, and you go to our website here at the radio station, classical959.com, you can find Conducting Conversations, and you'll see the information about this show, which is podcast after the fact. So if you want to tell friends to listen and they miss the live performance of it, they can always do that by going to the website and scroll down Conducting Conversations, find whatever show they want to listen to, including this one, and listen. So there you go. And the information for Carrie's website will be linked there.
Great.
So that just about wraps it up. And you have a couple other things you just wanted to mention. People that are involved with Shine So Bright, right?
Yes. Shine So Bright is the last song on the album. And it's really a huge troupe of people. In addition to some of the people I mentioned earlier, Dave Price on drums and Paul on guitar and Aaron on viola, there's a reed quartet that my son John composed, which consists of Jessica Carrera on flute, Ian Greitzer, who plays on a lot of John Williams stuff on clarinet, Josh J.K. Bone Kane on trombone, because I have two Josh Kanes on the album.
Of course.
Jim Castle on bassoon and singing. I'm singing soprano, of course, but on alto is Sarah Bartel, tenor is John Patrick Brennan, and bass is Alex Drell for the vocals.
A lot of people involved.
That's it.
Yeah. Big production. Well, Carrie, I want to thank you so much for coming in tonight and bringing your music to our audience, and I hope they take advantage of the opportunity to pick up a few of your CDs.
I do, too. That would be lovely.
That would be very lovely, and we'll have to have you back again and tell us what's new in your life.
I'd love that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We're going to listen to Shine So Bright, and then we'll see you all next week on Conducting Conversations.
Shine so bright, shine so bright. Shed your light now.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.